the same thought with Elisha. And so last week I discussed, or last Wednesday I discussed about the Shunammite woman and the story that Brother Jones gave. So I'm picking up, not going to continue with the story or anything, but I'm going to pick up with the story that we did read Wednesday. So if you'll open up your Bibles to 2 Kings. Second Kings, we're going to go to chapter 2. And just read the story here that we read Wednesday, and we're just going to pick up a particular thought out of this story. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 9. Most of, I believe all of you know the story very well. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be unto me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken away from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, and behold, appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up in a whirlwind unto heaven. And Elijah saw it, and cried, my father, in the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothing, and rent them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah, that fell from him, and went back, and stood by the brink of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah, that fell from him, and smote the waters, and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elijah went over. I want to look at verse 11, so most of us know the story well. In verse 11, reread again, and it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Now, I don't know if we discussed it Wednesday too much, and I know some people have made comment over the years. I've heard this over many years. That, we have to understand the story that Elijah had told Elisha, if you see me when I go, you'll get the request that you desire to have that double portion. But if you don't see me, you won't receive it. And we know the story as they walked together, and Elijah told Elisha, he says, you stay here. I have to go to Bethel. I think I have to go to Jordan. I think it was some different places there. And he said, no, I'm going to go with you. So we would understand from the story, maybe that's what a little bit of the thought was. You stay here, I'll go, and I'll be gone when he's gone. But he stayed with him. But the story goes on here that when Elijah and Elisha were speaking, the Bible says that a chariot of fire, horsemen and chariots, separated, came between the two of them. There have been times I've heard on other times, and we can read it quickly, and maybe you may read it. Elijah did not go to heaven in the chariot of fire. The chariot of fire divided the two, separated them. And now there again, you realize horses are big. Chariots are big. So I'm assuming the separation had to be at least between Brother Danny and myself. That much of a separation, maybe that much at least, for a set of horses that are on fire and a chariot. Well, when they separated the two of them, Elijah didn't get on board the chariots of fire and go to heaven. The Bible says that Elijah went into heaven in a whirlwind. So God was putting a great temptation here and a distraction so much on Elisha that if you see me, and this sight, this thing that had happened, Mark, I believe when Mark was down here at Essex Day, I didn't know they had it, but he said they had the Clydesdales down here. You know what the Clydesdales are, don't you? Usually they're famous for Budweiser trucks and all, but they're mammoth horses. They're humongous horses. I don't know if they're the largest in the world, but they're huge. They're impressive to even see. And usually when you see something like that, whatever it is, now this is a set of horses and chariots of fire that were on fire. Your total focus is drawn into whatever that situation is, whether it be horses or something. You're drawn into that, and things that happen around you are pretty much oblivious. You don't even know they're happening. But Elisha kept his eyes on Elijah. Even though God allowed that to go through there, I want to see if your desire is what you really are. I want a double portion. If you see me when I go, you'll receive it. But if you don't, you won't have it. And that chariot came through there. Elisha kept his eyes on Elijah. Even though all that distraction went through there, he kept his eyes fixed and he watched Elijah go up into heaven in a whirlwind. And that's what he was watching, even as the horses of fire continued to go on. In verse 10, he said, "Thou hast asked a hard thing." Elisha asked a hard thing of Elijah. "Thou hast asked a hard thing, nevertheless. If thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so." My thought that I want to put on the title for this morning is, will you allow something to distract you? Will you allow something to distract you from receiving your portion? You know, when we get saved, you know, there are people in the world, I'll jump ahead of myself. Matter of fact, I'm going to leave that because I think I have that later on. But what will distract you? What will you allow, or will you allow something to distract you in making heaven your home? Elijah told Elisha, he says, "You have asked a hard thing." Want to make heaven your home? You know, that's a difficult thing. Not easy. So that's what a lot of people think. "Well, I want to make heaven my home." That's all they got to say. No. Just like Elijah told him, this is a difficult thing what you've asked. To receive a double portion. Making heaven our home is a difficult thing. The Bible says, "Straight is the way, and few there shall be that find it." And that word "straight," if you read through the definition of that word "straight," it means it's a difficult path. It's a narrow path. It's a restricted path. It's not wide. It's just not whoever wants to. So as Elijah told Elisha, "You've asked a hard thing. You want to make heaven your home? It's a difficult thing. It's a hard thing." The Bible teaches us, Jesus said one time, there are four grounds that go out there. And the word of God falls upon four different grounds. And every person in the world is one of these parts of four grounds. And all four of those grounds, only one of those grounds produced fruit, grew, and made it. The rest of them faded away. Why? Because it was more difficult than what they assumed. And you know the grounds, the one ground, it says the word of God fell upon it, and they enjoyed it, they took it, they grew, they sprouted up. But when the sun got hot, when things got difficult, they withered away, and they couldn't take that. You know why people don't want it? It's just what I mentioned. It's difficult. It's a trying way. It's a hard way. It's a restricted way. Some of us have seen the reward and recognize that the reward is great. You know, when you want to go to heaven, and Elisha, trying to think of the story a little bit. I don't know if we'd ever really do know why, but for whatever reason, Elisha desired to have, and he asked for a double portion of what miracles that Elijah had. He wanted that double, he wanted something. He wanted what Elijah had, and he asked for that. Let me tell you, when people desire to get saved, when people get saved and get settled down and get serious with God and get their eyes fixed, you know what's going to happen? They're going to be serious. Talking to Brother Jones right after revival a little bit. He went back home. Might have mentioned to some of you that a service they had a young man, I think it was a lady in his congregation, comes from time to time, and I think it was her daughter and her boyfriend. They came to service. The boyfriend and the daughter came to the altar to get saved. I think I might have mentioned to you, he'd been shot 12 times in the last year, within the 8 months or a year. But both of them, he said, they both prayed, they both had a desire, and got saved. They both got saved and seemed to be happy. I haven't spoke to him since then or whatever. I think he was away the following weekend. I haven't spoke to him since that. But the thing is, people can come in and get saved, come to an altar of prayer, and we're rejoicing, we're thankful for that. But the real thing is to see them continue. The next week they're here. The next week they're here. The next week they're here. They're the desire. They get a focus. They get their eyes set on a particular goal, which is heaven. They get a real vision of what they desire, they want, and they stay at it. Some people don't. Some people don't. That's why it's a difficult thing sometimes. In verse 11, it says, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire. You know, the world wants us to look at, and the devil wants us to look at, the wonders of the world. And they get our eyes off God. The world is looking at everything out there. World Series was over yesterday, last night. But you know what's been going on the last week and a half? People have been focused on the World Series. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that in a sense, but that's their consuming drive. I had to look this up because I didn't know. I thought, you know, many of us think today's Sunday. Sometimes they play football. Well, they don't play today, they play tomorrow. But I wanted to look it up, see what time they played. And we've often mentioned, when they do play on a Sunday, there are people up very early in the morning. They're down there already tailgating. And I have one of my people I used to work with, and he would get up early. And I mean, he would tell me the spread. I mean, the food that they would have. Game would not start till 3 in the afternoon. They're there 6 o'clock in the morning. They've got grills and stuff and tents and all this made up. I said, boy, just the food alone, what he told me, sounded good. But their eyes are fixed somewhere else. Here, there, the attention. Their eyes are fixed on that chariot spiritually, and literally I'm speaking of that chariot of horses and chariot of horses and fire. That's what their eyes are focused on. They're fixed on things of the world. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4, we're just going to read some highlights of this chapter. This is a story of when Jesus started out his ministry and the enemy took him up on a high mountain. In verse 3, Matthew 4 and 3, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Verse 5 and 6, and the devil taketh him unto a holy city and setteth him up on a pinnacle of the temple. And he said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give thine angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against the stone. And in verse 8 and 9, and again the devil taketh him unto an exceeding high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And he said unto him, all these things have I given to thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. The kingdoms of the world. Go after the things of the world. The enemy of the soul drew an attention to Christ because of the things of the world. If you're the Son of God, do this that the devil commanded. Do this that the devil requested. If you're the Son of God, he says, bow yourself down. He goes, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. And that's what the enemy of the soul desires to do to people. Let me give you the things of the world, the passions of the world, the desires of the world, to be powerful, to be famous, to be rich, whatever it is. It amazes me. I never could understand people that desire to be career politicians. I mean, some of them that are career, I mean, it's their desire, it's their focus. And it's amazing to me when somebody has a position, and it can be any, it could just be local positions. You don't have to be like presidents or governors or things like that, but position. But somebody trying to come up the ladder, you know what they want to do? They want to associate themselves with that person. They want to make sure they're in the pictures with that person. That's the beginning stages. They want to be working around them. They want their name being associated with this person that has popularity now. And in time, they just keep moving up the ladder. And move, reaching for that chariot of fire. That horse of fire. Reaching for things. The devil does his very best to make sin attractive. He tempted Jesus. And all these things, if you're the Son of God. If you're not a Christian, that's what he says to you. If you weren't a Christian, look what you can do. That's what he said to Christ. He says, if you'll bow down, in verse 9, again, the devil taking him up to an exceeding high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said unto him, all these things I will give to you if you fall down and worship me. The devil tells saints of God that very same thing. Look what you can do if you're not a Christian. Look where you can go. Look who you can be with. Look what all the things. Look out there. Because you're a Christian, you can't take part in those things. Well, help us, Lord, to have a desire not to want to take part in a lot of those things. Some of those things are wicked and hateful. And I thank God, as saints of God, there are some of them things we do our very best to veer from them and stay far distance from them. But that's what the enemy does. Look at the things that you could do if you weren't a Christian. And he does his very best to get us to draw our eyes off the cross. What are we looking at? Will you allow something to distract you? Will you allow something to cause you to lose your reward? You know, as saints, we get older, I ask the Lord to help us. Help us not to lose our desire and our ambition for the things of God. As some people get older and as time goes on, we may have been saved for some time, but then things kind of get in there. What will distract us? Sometimes bitterness can set in. Brother Davis used to make a comment. I don't remember exactly how the wording it did. He says, but if you're a grouchy young man, he goes, you know where you're going to be when you're an old man? You're going to be a grouchy old man. Now, when I heard him say that, I didn't know that too much because I was pretty young. But I understand what he means now. I've seen people, and there's not much to change it. But if you're going to be happy and pleasant and peaceful and desiring the things of God when you're young, I believe God will help you take that attitude right on through the age. No matter even what happens to us in life, but bitterness. Sometimes we've been saved for a long time. We've seen a lot of things. Brother Walter, you mentioned it this morning a little bit. Sometimes we ask God, why? Why is it like this? Why is it like that? We've prayed. We've asked God. We've diligently sought some things all across the land. Why? We need to be careful. God, or the enemy doesn't allow bitterness to come into us. What will distract us? Will bitterness? I've seen it myself, and sometimes I can even feel the temptation of the enemy. As we live for God, we can get bitter towards the things of the world. It amazes me, when I was younger, you didn't care about anything of the political world at all. What's going on out there? Nothing. You didn't care. Your parents, you might remember your parents talking about it. Yeah, I ain't worried about that stuff. But now, I don't know why, but I guess because of wisdom, and we see the things that they're doing that is far from wisdom, there's not even wisdom isn't even involved. But we see that thing and it bothers us because we know that it's wrong. God says you just leave that alone and you just keep your eyes fixed. Because see, that there's again, that's that chariot of fire. And the devil will try to get us distracted from something to allow bitterness to come in. Get something distracted? Weariness. Weariness is being weary and well-doing, the Bible says. We can become weary. For almost the same reason. Been living for God 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 50 years. I'm tired. I'm tired of seeing the wickedness of the world almost continue to go. But being weary. Things that can distract us. I say, Lord, help us. We can get an attitude, a spiritual rocking chair attitude. I've been saved 50 years. I'm just going to sit down and relax. I've done my time. I've done my tour of duty, so to speak. I've taught, I've sang, I've played, I've done all those things. I'm going to sit back and relax. Now you may, but I believe that God always has a place for his saints in whatever it can be. You may not be strong, you may not have the voice to sing, the ability to play, the ability to teach, or whatever, but there's always that we can be a blessing to the house of God. We can never get into an attitude of just, I'm just going to sit back and relax. There are excuses that people use. And I say this can be a dangerous one. What will allow you to distract you? Excuses of why I can't be in church. Excuses why I can't pray, why I can't read, why I'm not as diligent at one time as I used to be. Excuses. That chariot of fire can be excuses. And you know what? Some of those excuses can be somewhat legitimate. Brother Walters had a back trouble for a while. I watch him walk through the door, and I've had back trouble. I know exactly what it's like. He has that little twist on him, but he's doing his best. Brother Walter or Brother Herschel says, thank the Lord another time. Sister Hawk used to say that. Thank the Lord for another opportunity. Sister Hawk used to say from time to time, she thanks the Lord for those that are able to bring her to service. Well, nobody can bring me. I don't have anybody bring me to church. I believe if you want to make heaven, you want to make services, you'll find a way. Somebody will bring you or something. Excuses. That can be legitimate. Not being watchful. What will allow us to distract us? Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 11. In 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse 4, for it came to pass when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his hearts after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord, his God, as was the heart of David, his father. I read this story from time to time with Solomon, and my heart breaks to hear about Solomon. Solomon was very humble when he was young. Solomon told the Lord, he said, Lord, I don't know how to come in and go out. I don't know how to rule the people of Israel. I don't have any idea how to take care of this. God says, tell me, I'll give you your heart's desire, Solomon. What do you want? And he goes, give me the wisdom to know how to lead your people. And God was pleased with him. And he says, because you didn't ask for your enemies, because you didn't ask for riches, I'm going to give you your request of wisdom and all these other things. And Solomon was extremely rich and wealthy and powerful, and wisdom from people from all over the world came to see the greatness of Solomon. But the sad thing is the first part of this verse, it says, for when he was old, something distracted him. Something got, and saints, and I, as I said, I know I'm not as old as some of you, but I feel some of the pressures from the enemy as we get older and things, and I thank God where I'm at now. Thank God God has blessed my life, and you get comfortable in life in a sense. There's not a lot of great goals in a sense you're wanting to set out after in the things of this world. You know, there might be some places you want to see and things like that, but you just get comfortable. And the devil starts to get you, try to get you to get wearier. Not, I don't say weary in a sense, but the devil gets you to try to just get your mind looking something else or drifting or thinking about something else. He says his wives turned his heart. Something distracting. He will use anything, the devil will use anything to distract you. The devil has no compassion at all. None. Whether you just got saved, you've been saved 2 days, he doesn't have any compassion. He comes at you strong, or you've been saved for God for 70 years and you're weak and you're not frail and you're able to not do something, he still has no compassion to try to destroy you. When someone gets saved, just getting saved, just being part of the kingdom of God, and the devil will take them back out in the world, something distracted them. Something got them to not be diligent in what they desired when they came to an altar of prayer. But even worse, but once someone had been saved, has gotten saved, and had been saved for many years, and the enemy of the soul gets him or her. How terrible. How terrible. Distracted. You know, I think of Judas. Judas was the treasurer. In a sense, if you want to say, he was the treasurer for Jesus and the disciples. I've heard some say that God allowed him to have that because he knew he had a battle with it. And for 3 years that Jesus walked this earth and preached, Judas was a treasurer. Something got his attraction. Something got his heart. Something took him away. He was with Christ, with the disciples. He'd heard him speak. He'd seen him do miracles. He'd seen him feed the thousand. He'd seen all these things. But something distracted Judas and caused him to lose his soul after being years with the Lord. We haven't got it made yet. There's never a time. I used to be friends with this gentleman, and this many years ago. He's gone on now. He's passed away. But the last year of his workforce, he retired. I seen him every week, once a week. There's a particular thing we were involved in together, and I seen him every week. And every time he'd walk up to me, I don't know how many days, but you know, I got 252 days left. The following week, that's the first thing he'd say. That's just like Brother Mark when he came in and told us about the game last night. First thing he said, I got 243 days left. I got 200 and whatever. All the way down to the very last time. And then after he did retire, I thought it was kind of cute. He came and he handed me a business card. And I forget what it said. Something about retired. No phone, no time clock, no boss. I just things on the corner that type. He was retired. He was done. But there's never a time where we can get into cruise mode, so to speak. I said rocking chair, a cruise mode. You know, I don't have many years or whatever. We can just cruise. But we have to even be more diligent in the later years, in the later times, because we don't have it made. I believe as we can get older, it can be more difficult. There again, when I was young, as I said a little bit ago, I didn't pay a whole lot of any mind about the political world. And maybe you didn't either. But now there's a song that Alan Jackson sings, and if you've never heard it, it's really, really a good thinking song. And he talks about, as I've gotten older, he goes, I think a little bit more. He goes, I'm not in a hurry to do things like I used to be. There's a lot of things I don't remember how to think, but it's a really good song. But as we do get older, things can get more difficult. Things can get more stressful. Our burdens can get greater. When Moses had gone up into the mountains to receive the commandments from the Lord, time got the people impatient. You know, we can become impatient. A distraction is one thing to be impatient. We you know, when you're young, it's easy to be impatient because you're young. But as we get older, that impatience sometimes becomes more stressful because we're not able to do a lot of things. I have our father-in-law living with us now, not only just with him, other people. Once you come to a place to where you're not, and he said, I wish I could go to work. I wish I was able to do. He's not physically able to do things like he used to be able to do. And when you're not doing those things, you sit a lot. And this thing gets relaxed.
That's true.
And it gets weak. We need to be careful. The enemy will take advantage to whatever it is. And impatience. And the people got impatience. And they got distracted. Let's go to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 25.
Hold on, let me get in second Chronicles here. I'm just going first. Now look at this verse. 2 Chronicles 25 and verse 2. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Sounds good. But not with a perfect heart. We ought to meditate on that some. I say, Lord, help us. You know, what will distract us? I've been living for the Lord for 30 years, 40 years. I've been saved now for probably a little over 40 years. Thank God. I appreciate God helping me. And there's some people that you can say, you can't, just like we talked about Daniel a couple weeks ago, when those princes and presidents, they tried to find something against Daniel, and they searched his life out. They could not find one thing against Daniel unless it was about his God. When he went to prayer. So then they had to trick the king. The old king make a decree there, make a petition there, that if anybody asks anything from you for so many days, you know how that all went. They're to be thrown in the den of lions. King didn't know. King didn't know what they were trying to play. And he went ahead and signed it. And of course, Daniel proceeded to what he was doing as he had done in the past. And he ended up going to the lion's den. God blessed him and took care of him, brought him out of that. But they couldn't find one thing in Daniel's life. So they had to find something. They had to make up something. And I said, Lord, help us. And I read this, and I actually pondered this. I said, Lord, help us. He did that which was right in the sight of God. You follow the commandments. You're in the services. You're in the ordinances. You're doing everything you can. You keep your mouth, and you keep your attitude. You keep everything right. But what is a heart? But our heart was not perfect. His heart was not perfect. Distract us. We can lose, we can get not be diligent as we once were. We can get relaxed. We can get slack on some things. You know, a husband and wife can be married for 50 years. Never been unfaithful. Always been there to take care of, financially support, raise the children and everything. But the love and the marriage grows cold. They're separated. Not physically in a sense, but they're not together anymore. They're not in love with one another anymore. Well, why? Well, he's taking care of the home. He's provided for the home. They've raised their children, sent their children to college, done everything. They have grandchildren. Everything as a physical appearance of an outward marriage is well. But there's no love. The same thing can happen to us as saints. Well, nobody can find one thing in my life. They can't put their finger on one thing. But how's your heart? How's your heart towards the things of God? How's our love towards the things of God? We can't let our light go out. You know, those virgins, those 10 virgins, 5 of them were wise, 5 of them were foolish. But the 5 that were foolish, they were virgins, but something got to them. Something got to them to where they weren't diligent in keeping the oil in their lamp, and their lights went out. Lukewarmness, bitterness, weariness, tiredness. Paul sent a letter to Timothy one time. He says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. How many of us have seen people over the years been saved? You know, I thank the Lord. Some of you remember some of the saints that we used to fellowship with. And I think his name was Brother Rick. And he was up in PA, the one congregation up there. He'd been here before. He used to sing and play his guitar. And someone I met that had been in that congregation some time. And I asked him. I said, how is Brother Rick doing? See, because he's still saved and faithful and singing and being faithful. That was good to me. I know there's anything not right with the church, isn't it? But I've said this when I preach different places, when I leave somewhere, I said, by the help of the Lord, I want the next time you hear Brother Doug's name, wherever it is, I want you to hear that I'm still saved and sanctified and pressing the battle on. And I want to hear the same about those. But Demas, Paul says, Demas has forsaken me. He had a love. Something distracted him. The things of the world distracted him. I know all of us here are not young anymore, and that's usually not an issue, but we don't know what God can, or we don't know what the enemy can throw at us to distract us. Is your heart fixed on Christ? Is your heart fixed? That word fixed means fastened securely in position. My son, he won his job. He has a Class A license and things, and he hauls around big equipment. Tractors, bulldozers, backhoes, things like that. And he sort of got the nickname of Hawk on the job. Because when he straps down these units, whether it's a backhoe, and they've got these huge crank straps, he straps them so tight, half of the guys can't break them loose when he gets them. And one time he was strapping one down, and he had cranked on the strap so much that the planks in the trailer, he just cracked one of the wheels, cracked the plank in half. He says, you know why? Because I've gone down the road and stopped and checked them, and they're loose. You strap them in sometimes, you don't get them tight, you don't get them fastened securely. And I've done that with some little things like that. I've strapped them down, go up the road maybe 10 miles, pull over to check them, and this one's dangling loose. But being fixed, fastened securely in position. Don't let the wonders of the world distract you. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5, if I ever find it. In Galatians chapter 5, in verse 7, he says, "You did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth?" You ran well. Who got your eyes off the Lord? What got your eyes off the Lord? Paul said, "There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness." See, a lot of times, I was thinking about this morning as I reread my notes and all, and I bring a lot of messages like this. Probably a good bit of my messages. I say, "Lord, help me." My desire is as strong today to make heaven my home as it's ever been. Even when I got saved today, I have a strong desire. But I also know between me and the grave, I don't know what's ahead of me. And I know this for sure, I need to stay close to Christ, as close as I possibly can, because I have seen too many people get to this place where I am, to here, to the end, and you would think, "Oh, they got it made. They've got it made," and lose out almost at the end. They said the devil has no compassion. Paul said, "There's laid up for me a crown of righteousness." As we got saved and we got our eyes fixed on the goal, our desire for the things of God, we need to keep that fresh in our heart and soul every single day of our lives. I told you some months ago, or a month or so ago, some of us were talking and talking to different ministers, and me and Sister Jerry were talking one day after service. And I said, "It seems like in just the last year, and 2 years at the most, our country has just gone downhill. Just things have gone downhill tremendously." And I heard something the other day. The man said the same thing. He goes, it seems like we have never declined in society as much as we have in the last 2 years. And I'm not really saying that against any president or whatever. It could be, I don't know. But just society, sin. You know the old saying is, you take a snowball or a ball of snow that big and you roll it down the hill, you know what happens? It grows and grows and grows. Unless you stop it, unless you stop that snowball, it's going to continue to grow. And unless sin is stopped and brought under control, it's just going to continue to
amplify and get out of proportion. Elijah told Elisha, if you see me when I go. Many times he told him to stay back. He said, no, I'm pressing on. The devil will tell you sometimes, why don't you just let up? Why don't you just back off? Why don't you just settle down some? Nope. By the grace of God, I'm going to continue to press on. Saints, from time to time, I ask the Lord to help us. We need to come to the house of God with the desire to serve God, with the desire, Lord, I want to add to the service. And you know why I say that from time to time? Because throughout the week, throughout your week, from time to time, God blesses you. Share that. Share that. I was going down the road and I got to thinking about a psalm and the Lord blessed. Whatever, share that. Be a desire, have a desire to be a blessing in the house of God. Because I think when you come here, and I'm not trying to find any fault with anybody at all this time, when you come here and this becomes a place where you're sort of like, I'll tell you right now, it's not going to be any better at home. You're not going to be at home and singing and rejoicing. This is the place. You enter to worship. You enter to worship the Lord. I know a lot of times we don't always feel that, and I'm not saying every service, but from time to time, it shouldn't be 10 years, but from time to time, I thank God I'm saved, I thank Him for keeping me, I thank Him for, from time to time, this needs to be the place here where we give God a praise, we rejoice, we give God, because if we're not going to do it here, we're not going to do it at home.
That's true.
We were sitting out on our porch this morning, gentleman walking, he was doing walking around the neighborhood, and said hello and walked on down the block and come around the block. And we were still sitting out there. And he says, look, he says, there's a big rainbow over y'all's house. Well, then got up and ran out there and looked. And just looking at it just a little bit of there. It had already gone away, most of it. But he told Lenny, he goes, you all have a good day. God bless you. He goes, that rainbow's protecting your house. we don't know all the details of that. But Lord, help us. Help us to come with a desire. Lord, I don't want anything to distract me, out there or in here. In here. Come with a mindset to hear the Word of God, to sing the songs of Zion, to be a part, to be a participant in the services that God can bless you. As I mentioned, he told him, stay back. Stay here. I'm going to go to Jordan. I'm going to go to Bethel. He said, I want what I want. I want my desire. Continue to press the battle on. Continue to go forward in the things of God. May the Lord bless you as we have a song.
Okay, page 145.
Wash the water.
garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Give us better altar in my own. Sin and laughter crimson swell, they wash the white as snow. I stand incomplete. I lay my trophies down, oh, down at Jesus' feet. Jesus, pay the altar in my own. Sin had left a crimson stain.
Appreciate each one being in service.